There are two occasions when the lay faithful, religious women and men, deacons and wives, the Bishop White seminarians join most, if not all, the active priests who minister in the Diocese of Spokane. This year we are blessed to have with us members of religious communities, the priests at the Ministry Institute, as well as joining us Bishop Muggenberg from the Archdiocese of Seattle, the auxiliary bishop who led us in our afternoon of prayer for priests. Now, these two occasions when so many gather with the bishops of this cathedral, Bishop Skillsted and myself, we come together in this prayer of the Mother Church of Our Lady of Lourdes. Those two Eucharistic celebrations are the Chrism Mass and the Ordination Mass. The two are distinct but closely related. In the ordination rite, every priest joins the bishop in imposing hands on the men just ordained, and then gathers around the bishop as he prays the prayer of consecration. This profound gesture is a sign of unity as those ordained are welcomed into the presbyterate of the local church. We are blessed this year in the evening of May 17th with the priestly ordination of Deacon Raymond Kalima, now finishing his studies at Theological College in Washington, D.C. All of you are invited to this Eucharistic celebration on the 17th of May, and I ask that you pray for Deacon Raymond in the days leading up to his ordination. The Chrism Mass is similar, as three oils are blessed which will be used for our sacramental ministry. Pope Francis, echoing a common theme of his predecessors, reminds priests that the Lord calls each of us at Chrism Mass to be a family gathering, not a house divided. Here in our diocese, we reflect different ages, ethnicities, seminary training, and pastoral experiences, but we are all priests serving in this Diocese of Spokane, sharing in the responsibility of saving souls, and not just those in our individual parishes or assignments, but in fact all who comprise the Church of Eastern Washington. The people of God must see in us a community of brothers who come together around Jesus Christ and who share his vision, and we are called to give witness by lives of fidelity to Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. For the lay faithful, this Chrism Mass manifests the unity of the priests with their bishop. Three oils are blessed, the oil of catechumens, the oil of the infirm, and holy chrism. This tradition is rooted in the early church of perhaps the 6th century, although for a number of centuries, this Mass was combined with Holy Thursday. However, it would be in the 20th century that Pope Pius XII and later Paul VI returned it to its separate liturgy that we now share in this evening. Throughout Scripture, various references indicate the importance of olive oil in daily life, oil used in cooking, as fuel for lamps, and as a healing agent in medicine. The Jewish people anointed the head of a guest as a sign of welcome, or the preparation of a body for burial. Oil was used to consecrate the meeting tent, the Ark of the Covenant, the table, the lampstand, and altars. Scripture also offers us insight in the spiritual symbolism of oil. The often prayed Psalm 23 reads, "You anoint my head with oil," signifying favor and strength from the Lord. To be the anointed of the Lord indicated receiving the special designation from God and the joy from being his servant. It also indicated receiving a special vocation from the Lord and the empowerment with the Holy Spirit to fulfill that vocation. As we read in the prophet Isaiah, heard in our first reading and echoed by Jesus in our gospel from Luke, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me." The symbolism of oil is sanctification, healing, strength, consecration, and sacrifice. Given this heritage, the early church adopted the use of this olive oil for its sacramental rituals. Hippolytus, early in the 3rd century, in his apostolic tradition, writes of an oil of exorcism used to anoint the candidates immediately before baptism, a practice that continues today. The ritual for the anointing of the sick quotes from the letter of St. James, "Is there anyone sick among you? Send for the priests of the church and let them pray over them." This is heard often and in all anointings of the sick, whether in the home, the hospital, or at church. Finally, chrism, a mixture of olive oil and balsam, is linked with the sanctification of individuals. In Old Testament times, priests, prophets, and kings of the Jewish people were anointed. The blessing of chrism is different from the other two oils in that the ritual calls to the bishop to breathe over the vessel of chrism, a gesture which symbolizes the Holy Spirit coming down to consecrate this oil. Think of how the Lord breathed on the apostles in the night, saying, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Notice how the concelebrants will extend their hands toward the chrism, signify that in union with their bishop, they share in the authority by which Christ himself builds up and sanctifies and rules his body, the church. A description articulated in the teachings of the Second Vatican Council. Much is asked of your priests and even bishops today. The sad and tragic reports of abuse by the anointed bishops and priests has once again shaken the faithful. For some, the cross has become heavier than others, not just victims and their families, but committed and faithful laity, religious and priests, who thought this was over. In an article entitled "A Letter to an Aspiring Priest," the Dominican Father Thomas Joseph White writes, "Each Catholic priest is a fragile, limited human being who's called to participate in Christ's priestly mission through the communication of divine truth and sacramental grace. The priest is an instrument of God despite his own limitations. This occurs principally in the liturgy and the priest's pastoral governance. The priest is called to progressive conformity to Christ and to conversion by virtue of his sacramental ordination and his life of prayer, teaching, and the care of souls." This Dominican goes on in his letter to an aspiring vocation, "The stability of the priesthood is at base the stability of the cross. It comes from God, his will, and his grace, not human estimations of worth or success, psychological introspection, or pragmatic arguments." I suspect all of us here believe this intellectually. But the truth is, in every priest and bishop's lives, there are times of great difficulty, what one seasoned pastor often called the burdens of the office. Yet we know from our own families and close friends in the laity, you too share the burdens of your vocations. That is, the tremendous responsibility of fidelity to one's marriage vows and the never-ending love, patience, and concern required to parents, no matter how old your children may be. Cardinal O'Malley, the Capuchin friar, in a Lenten talk to priests and laity, called these times in our lives the Simon of Cyrene moments. As you recall, Simon was walking down the street, concerned no doubt with his own issues, when the Romans forced him to carry the cross of Jesus to assist our Lord. No doubt he was angry, upset, embarrassed. Few, if any, then or today get up in the morning and decide to volunteer as a helper to a public execution. The New Testament doesn't give us much of Simon of Cyrene, except that he was African and had two sons, Alexander and Rufus. Some scholars speculate the sons were later crucial members, even leaders of the early church. Perhaps this involuntary rather than random act of kindness led to Simon's conversion, and what began as a day from hell became an occasion of profound blessing and peace. All of us have Simon and Cyrene moments in our vocations. There are difficult decisions and experiences we'd rather avoid and run from, but we must endure. To stand for Jesus Christ today in this culture, the dignity of the human person, the unborn, the refugee, to stand for truth and marriage and sanctity, these are the moments very often become the most important moments in our priesthood and our vocations. But the Simon Cyrene moments are in contrast to what we know to be the sixth station, where Veronica wipes the face of Jesus. Unlike the visibly annoyed and even angry Simon, Veronica forces her way through the crowd with little regard for her reputation or her safety and tries to comfort Christ. What motivated her? Compassion, courage, generosity of heart, concern for others. Veronica, although not actually found in the Gospels, is a well-known figure from our prayer and devotions as Catholic Christians. She symbolizes those who overcome the understandable fear of the cross and do what is right and just. You and I are priests of the Lord, as Isaiah in our first reading states. Ministers of our God shall you be called. And it is because we have freely accepted this priestly calling that you and I must live each day a faith grounded in prayer and apostolic action, and not run from the cross. Fear of the cross leads to spiritual mediocrity. Love casts out that fear and allows us to face Calvary. Of all the apostles who were the first priests, the only one to stand by the cross was the youngest, John, and the only one who wasn't martyred. No doubt he too was scared and full of doubt, but his love of Christ allowed him to overcome all fear and stand at the foot of the cross. The responsibilities of our vocations often bring us to moments and experiences similar to Simon of Cyrene. But part of our calling as shepherds after Christ's own heart is to show our society the love and mercy of Jesus Christ. It takes great effort. For some of us, even greater effort. But we can only respond if we truly have zeal for the salvation of souls and our hearts, minds, and lives. Another Capuchin, Father Cantalamessa, the priest who gave the bishops the retreat in January, an unprecedented gathering in the winter at Mundelein Seminary, speaks of the importance of lay people to be a part of these challenging times, to do so with commitment and faith. It is a great blessing that so many of you are here today. And so the words that Father Cantalamessa speaks, I would hope that you would take into your hearts. He notes that the Holy Spirit is calling the laity to a new vocation to assist priests. He says, the Lord today is calling the faithful in ever-growing numbers to pray, to offer sacrifices in order to have holy priests. A concern, a passion for holy priests is spread as signs of times throughout today's church. The royal and universal priesthood of believers has found a new way of expressing itself, contributing to the sanctification of the ministerial priesthood. Such vocations are extending out more and more beyond the walls of cloistered monasteries, where they have been hidden and are reaching the faithful. I ask you to pray for your priests and your bishops as you can be certain of our prayers for you. And so it is this gathering, this Chrism Mass, that very shortly we priests will renew our commitments in front of you, God's holy people, in front of our seminarians, God willing, who will persevere to be shepherds of the West, and in front of one another. And so we recall the words of Paul to Timothy. For this reason, I remind you to stir into flame the gift of God that you have through the imposition of hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather of power and love and self-control. So do not be ashamed of your testimony to our Lord, nor of me, a prisoner for his sake, but bear your share of hardship for the gospel with the strength that comes from God.